We're in a series. We're talking about the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, and about promises. We talked about two, God's promise of joy and God's promise of peace. And this morning, we're going to start the prayer part. Jesus prays for his disciples. So we're in chapter 17. We're going to take a look at the first five verses together. So you're welcome to follow along either in your Bibles or on the screen. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." A couple of years ago, my 98-year-old father went to bed one night, and the next morning he woke up in glory. And as a family, we were face to face with death, with his death, with the death of someone we had known and loved our entire life. But at that moment, the only thing that really mattered was a decision that my father had made 90 years before. He gave his life to Jesus. He committed to follow his heavenly Father his whole life. He devoted his life to bringing the Father glory, and he did. Jesus, you see, claimed him as his own. His sins were forgiven. He was given eternal life. He found peace in Jesus. He found joy in Jesus. We grieved, but we know that we will see him one day again in our Father's house. Not because of anything he did, nor because of anything we did, but because of everything Jesus did. See, Jesus came to die the death of a crucifixion so that those who believe in him might belong to him, not only in life, but as we testify, also in death. Before Jesus died, he showed us how to prepare for death, or for any impending crisis, for that matter. He went confidently to his Father in prayer. Jesus has been teaching about discipleship. He started that in John chapter 13. He continued that all the way through chapter 16. But now Jesus ends by praying for his disciples, chapter 17. You see, over his 3 years of ministry, Jesus taught his disciples about the way to the Father, about their eternal home with his Son, Jesus Christ, and about the coming gift of the Holy Spirit into their lives. And he promised them joy. And he promised them peace. And now all that remains in preparing his disciples for the ministry that awaits them is prayer. Prayer for his finished work. Prayer for his present disciples. Prayer for his future disciples. And prayer that the world will see and listen to hear his disciples. In this prayer, which fills John's entire 17th chapter, Jesus focuses on the major issues facing his disciples and the world. His farewell prayer leads us into the very heart of Jesus' ministry and message. His prayer provides us a summary of what is important, what is essential for his church, that is, for his community of faith-filled followers. So Jesus' prayer here in chapter 17 is patterned after an earlier prayer that many of us know, that Jesus taught to his disciples in Matthew 6, recorded also in Luke 11. That is the prayer we traditionally call the Lord's Prayer, but which in fact Jesus taught to his disciples to pray. And we have the opportunity for a few moments this morning to put that prayer side by side with this prayer of Jesus, and putting them side to side lends clarity to each one. So for example, if we took the two addresses, we know our Father who art in heaven. In John 17, we read, Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. There are the first petitions. Hallowed be your name, we pray. Jesus prays, glorify your son, that your son may glorify you. First petition, first priority. Second petitions, your kingdom come, and Holy Father, keep them in your name that you gave them, that you gave to me, so that they may be one as we are one. The third petitions, we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus here prays, instead of your will be done, keep them from the evil one. And instead of on earth as it is in heaven, I'm not asking you to take them out of this world. The fourth petitions, give us today our daily bread. Jesus prays, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. That's the petition for real bread, truth. The fifth petitions, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Jesus here prays, may they all be one as we are one, so that the world might believe. Forgiveness is ultimately for the sake of unity. And then the sixth and final petition in each of the prayers, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we pray. Jesus prays, Father, I want the community you gave me to be with me where I am. That is, we are delivered from the evil one in order to be with the Holy One. Interesting parallels and similarities. You see, Jesus prays here as he taught his disciples to pray. So we're going to look at this prayer together over the next 3 weeks. So this morning, we're going to talk about how Jesus is praying for his and for his Father's glory, verses 1 to 5. The address, and if you will, the first petition. And next week, we'll focus on Jesus praying for his band of frightened disciples, verses 6 through 19, petitions 2, 3, and 4. And on the 15th, we'll look at Jesus praying for his church and for the world's mission, verses 20 through 26, petitions 5 and 6. And then it'll be Lent. So in the opening verses of this particular prayer, Jesus asks that his Father be glorified in two ways. The first way is by Jesus' own obedience to his Father. And the second way is through the salvation of people who would come to know the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. So by his own obedience to the Father, check, Jesus is going to do that. And the second, by those who will follow him and believe in him, a work still in progress. So let's take a look at that. Jesus begins his prayer saying, Father, glorify your Son. Scripture says, Jesus lifted up his eyes toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. Jesus prays. He talks with God. Jesus' relationship with God is as simple as it is intimate. Jesus reminds us that God, his Father, is approachable, not only for Jesus, not only for the Son, but for all of God's children, for you and for me. And Jesus is reminding us that prayer was necessary for him. It was a blessing for him. So it must certainly be necessary for us and be a blessing to us as well. So an encouragement simply to pray. Then Jesus says, Father, the hour has come. Literally, the wait is over. This is now Thursday night. The weekend is upon us. The weekend is upon us. The world-turning events of history are about to turn. Jesus' crucifixion, his death, his resurrection, they are imminent. So Jesus prays, glorify your Son, so that your Son may glorify you. We would say, hallowed be your name. The word glorify is a verb here in this context. It comes from the noun glory, which suggests something splendid, something beautiful, something bright, something glorified. To glorify is to make something beautiful, to make something desirable, excellent, glorious. And we do that by fulfilling the purpose or the mission of that which is to be glorified. For example, if I fulfill the purpose of being a pastor, if I teach, if I care, if I lead, if I pastor well, then I make being a pastor something that is desirable, something that people might want to be or learn more about. That is, I glorify being a pastor. If you're a teacher, if you fulfill the purpose, the mission of being a teacher, that is, if you teach, if you encourage, if you invest in your students, then you make teaching attractive and you glorify teaching. If you're a salesperson or a business owner or a police officer or a coach or a spouse or a parent or whatever your vocation might be, and you do what you're supposed to do and you do it well, that is, you don't just put in the time and get it done, but you put your whole self into it and you do the very best that you can do, then you make your role or your position appealing. Or somebody else might want to do something similar or follow in your footsteps, and you bring glory to your vocation. So glorifying someone or glorifying something means focusing our attention on them or on it, and then fulfilling the purpose that is essential to that something or that someone. So Jesus prays, Father, glorify your Son. That is, Father, give me your only begotten Son, your attention, your full attention, so that I can fulfill the purpose, I can fulfill the mission, I can fulfill the opportunity that you have sent me to do. This is the weekend. This is the day of betrayal. This is the time of trial. This is the imminent crucifixion and burial time. This is the time Jesus is going to suffer and die. This is when Jesus is going to step up and into the role of suffering servant, of savior, of redeemer. This is his mission. This is the reason. This is the purpose for which God sent him to earth. Father, let me be seen to all as the savior you have sent me to be. Jesus prays, Father, glorify your Son, so that in glorifying your Son, so that your Son may glorify you. Father, fix your attention for this moment on your Son, so he can fulfill this incredible mission and make your name great, make your name excellent throughout all the earth, so that the time may come when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Let me do your work, Father. Let me be about your mission. Let me be obedient to you so you can get the glory and the honor and the worship. We will soon see Jesus praying in earnest in the garden. This same Jesus will ask the Father to remove this bitter cup from him. This huge mission that the Father has set before him, That is going to mean that he's going to have to suffer the grueling pain of a crucifixion. He'll ask, may this cup pass from me. So in light of that, this is an incredible petition on the evening of his crucifixion, knowing he is going to face this excruciating pain. He's going to be abandoned. There will be loneliness and sorrow. There will be this outer agony and this inner anguish as he carries upon himself the sin of the world. Jesus longs for his Father to be glorified, for his Father's amazing, gracious plan to save sinners in this world. And while Jesus prayed that he would be glorified so he could glorify his Father, you and I too are taught to pray, Father, hallowed be your name. It's the same prayer, just different words. Father, fulfill your purpose, fulfill your mission in me so that your name is honored, so that your name is glorified by my obedience to your will. Truth is, it's fairly easy to pray that prayer when life is colored in the pastels of peace and success. It's far more difficult to pray that prayer when the colors are the gray of pain and suffering, of failure and despair. To pray in a valley of shadows, Father, fulfill your purpose in me. Use even my pain, even my suffering. That requires significant faith. If you will, gobs of God's grace, and eyes that can see the face of Jesus, even in life's tragedies. Truth is, there is no greater prayer than the one that fully submits to God's will, even in the crucible of suffering. The prayer that seeks only to fulfill God's purpose and only to bring him glory. That kind of praying doesn't demand answers to our why. It simply requires that we love God and we trust him with our good days and our bad days, with our health and with our sickness, with our successes and with our failures, both in life and in death. Every disciple, every would-be follower of Jesus must join Jesus in praying this prayer together. Father, whatever it is, whatever your purpose or your mission is for my life, may it happen. Make it so that you, Father, may be glorified. And as Jesus will also pray in Gethsemane, Father, not my will, but yours be done. And so we pray as Jesus prays. Father, keep us on mission. Give us your attention. Give us your presence. Give us your power. Glorify us that we in turn may glorify you. Obey your will and make your name great. Are you confident of your personal relationship with the Father? Jesus acknowledges that the Father has given him authority over all people. The text here literally says over all flesh. In that first reference, he is talking about the entire human race. That is, the whole world is, as we sometimes sing, in his hands, in Jesus' hands. He holds the eternal destiny of every single being, you and me and everyone else. Jesus extends an invitation to each one of us as well. He says, come to me, all you who are weary, all you whose load is heavy, and I will give you rest. We do well to respond. And then Jesus prays for this group of people that the Father will give to him out of all flesh, out of all the people of the world. And those people, he says, will receive eternal life. This group of people that Jesus is referencing there is his church. It is his family. It is the community of believers. It is the group of those who love and follow him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. These are the people Jesus is now calling to also bring glory to his Father. Now, there's a lot of theology packed in these couple of verses. Jesus says, you granted the Son authority over all people that he might give eternal life to those the Father has given to him. Jesus uses this phrase, eternal life, here in this context to encompass not only the quality of life, that is immeasurably full and abundant life, but the quantity of life as well. Never ending, going on forever and ever. So in this sense, eternal life is not something we just simply look forward to. That is, it is not just getting into heaven when we actually die. No, this describes the life you and I can have in Jesus here and now, right now. An abundant life, a life of peace, a life of joy, a life filled with the Holy Spirit. A life that is eternal. Promises of Jesus. Jesus acknowledges that the Father gave him authority to offer this eternal life to all those that the Father had given him to offer this eternal life to. It's a gift. It's not something we earn. It is not something you and I deserve. It is a gift from Jesus. And Jesus will purchase all these gifts. He will dispense for us with his atoning suffering and death. Jesus gives this eternal life to all those that the Father has given to him. Sounds a little like John 6, verse 37. All those the Father gives me will come to me. The first move in our receiving eternal life is not our move. It's the Father's. It's the Son's. Both of these groups, all flesh and the church, are in the dependable, faithful, mysterious, sovereign hands of Jesus. The church honors the Father by honoring, following, and joining in the mission of Jesus, the Son. Whenever and wherever the Son is honored, the Father is glorified. Are you confident of your permanent, of your eternal relationship with the Father? So Jesus prays, Father, fulfill your purpose in me through my death and resurrection so that you will be glorified, so that your purpose will be fulfilled in the gifting of eternal life to all those you have given to me. This is eternal life, Jesus prays, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus, whom you have sent. Most of us know who God is. Most of us know about Jesus. But that isn't the kind of knowledge that Jesus is talking about here. Nor is it the kind of knowledge that offers eternal life. Eternal life does not come from knowing about Jesus and the Father. Eternal life comes from knowing, that is, believing, that is, being intimate with God as the only true God and Jesus as God's Son. The Son that brings God's gifts of eternal life by his sacrifice on the cross, as the only way that you and I can be saved. The only way. And therein is the exclusivity of Christianity. You see, there are not many gods. There is one true God. There are not many saviors. There are not many paths to the Father. There is just one, God's one and only Son. Only one can save us, save people from their sins. Now out of his love and grace, the one true God has sent his one and only begotten Son into this world with a human nature to endure the suffering of mankind to secure for us eternal life, a gift for sinners. And that is what you and I need to know, and that is what you and I need to embrace, not only with some logical persuasion of our mind, not only with some unquestioned acceptance of a tradition, but with the response of our heart that confesses, my Lord and my God. So the unmentioned focus here of Jesus' prayer is the cross that awaits our salvation to be atoned. There's an old story about the angel Gabriel and Jesus. And the story goes that just before Jesus was going to leave heaven for his earthly mission, Gabriel stopped him and asked, "Where are you going, Lord?" And Jesus replied, "To Bethlehem in Judea." And Gabriel said, "Why, Lord?" And Jesus replied that the Father, his Father, loved the world so much that he was sending him, the Son, to redeem it. And so Jesus left and folded himself into human nature. And Gabriel waited and waited. And the weeks turned into months, and the months turned into years, and the years turned into decades. And finally, after years of faithful vigilance, Gabriel saw Jesus returning through the gates. And the story suggests that the angel was horrified by what he saw. "Lord, what happened to you down there? Where did you get all those scars? Who would mistreat the Father's Son? And the world you went to save, Lord, did you save it?" And Jesus replied, "Gabriel, I did not save all humanity, only a small number, but I saved them by these scars." "Lord," the angel protested, "what about the rest of humanity?" "Gabriel," Jesus said, "if the rest are to be saved, they too are to be saved by these same wounds. It is the only way." This prayer of Jesus includes Jesus' desire to come home again to the Father. "Father," he prays, "glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Jesus longs to accomplish this mission for his Father. Jesus longs to be fully obedient, to provide for our salvation, to bring his Father glory. And he prays here as if this mission is already completed. You see, Jesus knows that Calvary, this up-and-coming crucifixion, this cross, his death and his burial, he knows that it involves carrying mankind's sin on his shoulder and with it the torments of hell itself. But that is how much Jesus longs to be obedient. That is how much he loves us in order to sacrifice himself for our salvation. That's how much Jesus is focused on glorifying his Father. The Father is glorified by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. The Father will be glorified again in his resurrection. The Father will be glorified and is glorified today as Jesus sits at his right hand. And the Father is still being glorified here by those who worship him as the one true God. Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he suffered and he died, he gave his life that you and I might have eternal life. Those of us who commit ourselves to following God's will and to bring him glory in all we do. Jesus' prayer continues to be answered. On earth, as it is in heaven. God continues to be glorified by those who love him and who love his son with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God glorified his son. Jesus' sacrifice is now a part of history. Jesus' sacrifice is also the provision for our salvation. The son has been glorified. And the Son has now glorified his Father. Jesus' prayer continues to resonate through history as people continue to come to Jesus Christ, to know the one true God, and to know Jesus Christ as the one God sent for their salvation. Jesus' purpose in sending Jesus into this world was that so you and I could be saved. His invitation to us is that you and I might believe. His intention is that we are to bring the Father glory. Jesus continues to pray for us. May your faith and your obedience be his answer. You see, the reason my Father is in heaven today is because Jesus prayed for him as he's praying for you and for me today, praying that he would know the one true God, praying that he would know Jesus, who the Father sent. Jesus' prayer was answered. Are you confidently enjoying the privileges of your relationship with God? Jesus is still praying for more and for all whom the Father has given him. May he find us faithful. And may God receive the glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his willingness to step away from heaven. Thank you for glorifying him, that he in turn would glorify you. Thank you that he prays for us today, and that his prayers are answered as we move from this life into our eternal home. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who came that we might have life, have it abundantly, and have it eternally. And all God's people said, amen.